How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw aside the curtain on a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, an unhappy moment in the life of a man who probably was turned down by more women than any other great American. But first, a word from a familiar voice. A statement to which I add, amen. Now, if you will, step with me behind the scenes to a magnificent mansion of colonial Virginia, the year 1752. A young man sits astride his horse before this beautiful home as though undecided whether to dismount. And well he might be hesitant, because his errand is one which has caused even brawnier men to quail. Well, not much brawnier, because this one is a tremendous specimen, well over 6 feet and shoulders like an ox. Huge, awkward hands hang from his sleeves, and the shabbily shod feet in the stirrups are enormous. He wipes his forehead with a cheap, coarse handkerchief and rubs nervously perspiring hands on his homespun breeches. He hasn't a particularly handsome face, but it's mightily determined. His errand? Well, in case you haven't guessed, he's come to ask a girl's father for her hand. And it's only the dizzying vision of beautiful, brown-eyed Mary Carey that keeps him from putting the spurs to the horse and running away at breakneck speed. But he's made of stern stuff, this young fellow. With jaw set, he dismounts and strides awkwardly to the door. And as he stands in the magnificent hallway, waiting for the servant to summon the wealthy and aristocratic Colonel Wilson Carey, his heart sinks right down to his big feet. He glances down at his rather rude clothes and realizes they're out of place in this beautiful mansion. He tries to recall the speech which he was prepared to make, but his mind seems to have gone blank. And while he's still experimenting as to the best place to keep his big awkward hands, the blue-blooded Colonel Carey is standing before him. The Colonel doesn't invite him to sit down, merely commands him to state his business. The young man takes a deep breath and does so very badly. His words stutter and rush ahead like a frightened bull battering at a fence. The Colonel's been expecting something like this, and with distaste studies the man before him. A strong face, but not too bright, he decides. No manners, hadn't even made the grand tour of Europe. His spelling was atrocious. The Colonel knew that because he'd read a couple of his frightfully mushy letters to Mary. Also his poetry, the memory of which caused the Colonel to shudder. People spoke highly of his ability as a surveyor and a horseman, but you can't support a born lady on that. The Colonel knew that his daughter and other girls secretly laughed at this fellow, and he didn't blame them. A big, awkward, lovesick lout. The Colonel decided he'd make short work of him. But before the conclusion of this painful interview, a word from your announcer. His almost incoherent plea finished, the young giant stands in an agony of suspense. The Colonel looks him up and down with curled lip and replies, "If that is your business here, sir, I wish you to leave the house. My daughter has been accustomed to ride in her own coach." And turning away, he calls to the servant, "William, you may show Mr. George Washington the door." Yes, in all, George Washington, one of our greatest Americans, was turned down by perhaps half a dozen ladies. But no experience was any more humiliating than this first refusal. A refusal which, ladies and gentlemen, we mercifully return to behind the scenes. And now, this is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this same time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.